You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Just won't quit, and Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh. They're the LSD.
They don't do it for free.
While you're living your life, they're watching TV.
They're the LSD.
They do it for you. And soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 7 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing well. I, like everybody else in the fandom, I am holding on to the 5% that maybe something changed in the last few minutes before the feeds went down. But I am not hopeful, but I'm just holding on. I'm holding on, Taryn. Can you blame me for holding on?
Everyone is holding on, Brent. Okay. Also with me tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing well. I am in agreement with Brent. I am holding on hope for something else to occur. We shall see.
We shall see. We are live on YouTube, and you can join us in the chat if you want. This is the final roundtable during the season. We will do one more after the season ends to recap the season as a whole. We'll give all of the players their final overall ratings and all of that great stuff. There's plenty of stuff to do for the final, ultimate final recap thing, roundtable, whatever you want to call it, retrospective, I don't know. But this is the final one during the season, and we will have our final stock watch session. And in that session, Adam is still live. He was rated in the form. We saw that he is likely the person that was evicted, but we do not know for sure. And so he is still live in the stock watch. Just granted, given how likely it is that he did leave, that is also obviously going to impact the rating that he receives. So that is how we chose to go through with this particular circumstance. So let's talk about the week as a whole. We saw Mark evicted by a 2-0 vote. That's what we expected last week when we talked. In my interview with Mark, Mark said, you know what? Anthony made the right decision sending me home. That said, I'm going to vote for Adam and possibly Dane over him. Very confused by that answer. He said it was a close vote between Dane and Anthony, but he would probably choose Dane. I was very shocked by that.
I don't remember if I've said this to you guys yet. You can stop me if I have. But like, I think what's happening here is that he revealed on the eviction interview with Arissa that he was rooting for Anthony. He's like, I'm rooting for Anthony. I love him. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, oh, but I'm a fan of the show. And I don't, like, I just exposed to the fans exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm Mark. I want to be unpredictable. So I feel like that's why he gave you the interview that he did and everyone else the interview that he did, saying, oh, well, I may not vote for Anthony. Just wait and see. But I feel like in the end, you will vote for Anthony. I saw Eric on Reality Recap saying that he couldn't believe that Mark was saying some of the things that he was saying. And I'm like, I can't believe you bought that. Like, he's a liar. You know this. Come on. He's just screwing with us.
There's also, you know, a lot of the time they come out of the house, and the second they come out of the house and she asks them, who are you going to vote for? They kind of blurt out a name and just say whatever name is at the top of their head, or whoever they say goodbye to last, or whoever they have like a good feeling about right then and there. And then when they have more time to think about it, maybe their answers change, or at least we've seen that in the past where people are like, I don't know why I said that. I have no idea why I said I was going to vote for so-and-so. Like, I thought of the name and I said it. So it's possible that he learned more information, or he was thinking more about it, and he realized that like it would be he didn't want to vote for Anthony. I don't know, but I mean, who knows at this point? I just feel like the interviews with Arissa, when they first get out of the house. And then the interviews before they go into the jury house are all just meaningless. Yeah, it's like you can't rely on those for anything, as we've seen in the past like five seasons, that they mean nothing and you can't predict anything from them. Even though we're about to predict stuff from them during this podcast.
Yeah, Melissa giving away the gold here that,
that none of this means anything.
They mean something like half the time, but the problem is the other half of the time they don't mean anything.
And you don't know which is the half that means.
Which is which. Mm-hmm. The one thing that Mark did say, or you know, seemed to imply from your interview with him, is that he fully expects Kira to be taken to the final two. And that may have something to do with his rankings and what he may perceive is supposed to happen in regard to what eventually happens. Because if Kira is not taken to the final two, like say Dane wins the final HOH and takes Anthony to the final two, I think that will have a big impact on Mark's vote. So we'll see. Everything is very, very live. Like, even because I don't know if he was eventually evicted, I feel like Adam's chances are still like nominally live at this point to win the game, which mm-hmm. sounds crazy, but it's true. And the other thing too, there have been no spoilers. I am aghast. I am so proud of our community. There have been no spoilers.
No spoilers.
As who went home and who won part one of the final HOH. If you look back past seasons, you can see like Dimitri won part one of HOH. Aika was evicted. You know, all of that was leaked. Not so this time. So I'm kind of psyched about that.
Yeah. What's the Vegas equivalent in Canada? Because we don't have that.
Oh, well, like, I've been to Toronto and they have good gambling there, even though they took my money. So,
yes. Well, yeah. So, just to clarify,
Toronto, for sure.
If you didn't listen to the interview with Mark, how he worded it was basically he would vote for any of the guys over Kira. But if it came down to a voting of the guys, that would be tough for him. He'd go Adam number one, then close call. Probably Dane, then Anthony. And as Brent mentioned, it did seem like he wasn't expecting that to even be the case. He was like, well, hopefully it's just a guy and Kira, because then it's obvious. If I have to choose, that would be annoying. Like, he really fully expects that it will be Kira and the winner of the season. And so I do believe that that has some impact on his ratings there, his rankings there. And then also, as Brent mentioned, I fully expect that he could have the opinion that Dane, you were in the final three with Kira and Anthony and you chose to take Anthony. What's wrong with you? Obviously, Anthony has played the better game at this point. That's just a terrible decision. So I could see that influencing Mark's vote in that particular case. And I do think it's all live in the first place. I really couldn't tell you for sure where Mark votes. I mean, even if Adam does get to the end, does he really have Mark's vote, or is this more just like I just got out of the house and you know, I'm just gonna be like, well, you should have taken out Adam because he's got my vote, but when it comes down to it, will he actually give Adam his vote? I don't know. He hasn't had the closest personal relationship with Adam of the three guys, so it's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. Really, you're gonna vote for Adam when he's like of the three guys that were with you in the Pretty Boys, he's the person that you had the least of a relationship with. Like, please explain that to me. Although, to be fair, he did say that in the house. Like, if Adam gets to the end of the mm-hmm. game, like, you know, that was him sticking his foot in his mouth saying, I would vote for Adam, and then he quickly tried to walk it back. So the fact that he quickly tried to walk it back leads me to believe that there may be a morsel of truth there.
Yes. So back in the house, we did see Dane win the following HOH. Now, Mark did throw Dane under the bus when it comes to the whole Sam backdoor. We heard that there was some drama that came from this, but by the time the feeds came back, it was all squashed. And we never actually saw it on the episode. So I guess it maybe wasn't as big as it was reported to be, or it even existed. Didn't exist as much as it was reported to be.
I think because Dane won HOH, I really feel like, I don't know if you agree with me, Melissa, but I feel like that's what neutered it. I mean, like, there could have been an explosion. Like, if Adam had won HOH, mm-hmm. I think he would have had a lot to say to Dane about how he felt and what the hell was happening with Sam and who evicted her and who was the cause of it. The fact that Dane won HOH and was completely immune and going to the final three, and, you know, if Adam gets to the final three, he's going to have to work with Dane. I think that's what neutered that whole discussion.
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for him to, you know, confront Dane about this in an aggressive sort of way when Dane won HOH and basically, you know, kind of controls. Well, you know, he's going to be in the final three. And so, you know, that he might be the person who could pick them. Because, the the nominations don't really mean anything for this this episode because it's really the veto. But still, it's like for the future, you already know Dane's going to be in the final three, and Dane's really good at competition. So the likelihood that Dane wins that final HOH and has to choose someone to take is huge. And you can't make enemies at this point in the game.
And good on Adam, you know, that once again, controlling his temper. I've often said that this would be my biggest, you know, downfall in a reality TV game would be controlling my temper when I get angry with people or when I get irritated with him. But Adam, you know, we hit that fight with Anthony when he hugged him and just, you know, immediately put it in the ground and was like, I'm done with this. I love you, man. And then here, you know, really not trying to make a big deal, knowing, recognizing that Dane is going to be a part of his future, whether or not he likes it or not. He's won HOH, and so he's going to be there on finale night. Good for Adam not being able to, not blowing up like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really is a strength to what Adam does, where he is able to overcome the sort of differences between the people that he's in an alliance with, and that loyalty did really get him really far in the game. The question becomes, can he use that loyalty to keep himself safe at the final four? We'll have to wait and see. Dane, so as we said, Dane ends up winning this HOH, and Anthony pretty quickly is like, hey, I don't want to touch the block. I want to keep my record clean. And Dane in the diary room was like, that concerns me. But in the house was like, sure.
Again, unless they're leaving something out, like I, if you were playing in Dane's place, like if you temporarily took possession of him, Taryn, I would understand why he did what he did with Anthony in terms of keeping him as a bigger target. Like you can't let him get to the end. He hasn't been nominated. How could you possibly take him to the final two? But we haven't heard him articulate any of that argument. So I'm still like a little bit aghast as to why Dane did what he did. But I guess, like, to me, this just shows that he has a real loyalty to Anthony. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it, but I'm telling you right now, I'm still not buying the fact that Dane's going to take Kira to the final two. I think Dane's going to take Anthony to the final two because of the way he talks about final two with Anthony. It is raw. It is real. It is heartfelt. He has never, ever, ever talked to anybody else that way. I don't think. It's always, it is a carnal sort of feeling when you're like, you know, it's us going to the end, man. You and me. I just don't buy that he's willing to take Kira to the final two. She's not.
Yeah, for everyone saying before that Dane was manipulating Anthony or whatever, like, no, sorry. I think Dane was totally genuine in saying that he wants to keep Anthony around and take Anthony to final two. I really don't think. I mean, if Dane this whole time has been playing Anthony, I will be very impressed, and good for him if he is. I hope he is, honestly, because it's stupid for him to bring Anthony to the final two. I think he should absolutely take Kira. But, you know, we'll just have to see what happens.
I see Ligori in the chat saying, Dane is so good, he even has Brent fooled. As I say in the chat, I agree with Taryn that I feel like this could be a little bit of a John Party situation where at the current time, in the current timeline, God, I love that when that discussion you had with, I think, Mary or Kirsten, when you were talking about timelines in this timeline and that timeline.
Oh, I'm trying to talk scenarios.
I know, right?
Did not work.
I know. It was great. I loved it. So in the current timeline where Dane is like existing, he's going to take Anthony to the final two. Now, it's a long way till finale night. Finale night's on Thursday. We got three more days there, and by now they've probably played part one, probably part two of the HOH. The money's starting to be real. He's looking at how terrible Kira is. I think it's possible it could change as late as the day before, but right now, as to what I've seen, he's taking Anthony to the final two. And Karen's going to be up in Toronto after the finale. And if he ends up not taking Anthony to the final two, I want to hear from him when it changed, because I do believe that right now he's willing to do it.
My guess would be if Dane cuts Anthony, it's what he had been planning all along. That would be my guess. I don't think he will change. I mean, he could change his mind, but I would lean toward it would have been his plan all along. But honestly, I can't tell. I spent about 2 hours going over Dane's game this morning and talking about how he really has been the biggest liar in the house, the most cutthroat player all season long. And he really is hard to read. He is a great liar. And what makes him even an even better liar is that it seems like he's a terrible liar, because people think that they catch him in lies all the time. But when he tells the lies that really matter, they believe him. And that's the worst. That's the most deadly kind of liar. And it's the kind of liar that I can't tell what he's going to do. I could not tell you for with 100% certainty that I know Dane is taking Anthony or that I know Dane is taking Kira. I couldn't tell you. I don't even know for sure if he's, I mean, I'm pretty sure he plans on evicting Adam, but I couldn't even tell you for sure that he might, you know, not change his mind or that Anthony might not change his mind. It's hard to read Anthony sometimes too.
I feel like Anthony is even more malleable at sometimes than Dane. Like if they, like going back to what we were talking about previously, if they, you know, Arissa came on, said, you know, there's going to be a special eviction, a surprise special eviction at the final four. The final four are going to become the final three. So they were going to have an eviction, like Karen said on the show last night, like 45 minutes to an hour later is how much time they have. In that time, I have to believe that they probably, Adam probably sent something and went to them and said, hey, you guys are keeping me, right? And they said, dude, we got to talk. And then they were like, then the tears start to come out. He's like, really? You're like, this is my dream. This is my dream. Like, you're going to take care of to the final three. They don't even deserve it. Like, I think there's a chance that he's still in the house. I really do. I started thinking about Adam past tense. Like in my head, he's already with the jury roundtable, but he could have already won part two of HOH by this point.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Dane does leave Anthony off the block. He nominates Adam and Kira. He does have a conversation with Anthony where they both agree that Adam probably has to go. One of the reasons why we're so unsure that Adam has left for sure is that we've only really seen two conversations. One where they said, hey, you know what's up? You know, it's a decision we'll have to make. And then two, how should we break it to him? Like this is not a like super set in stone plan that's been discussed a lot that they definitely want to do. Anthony himself has not even said, I definitely want to evict Adam. He's just been like, yep, he's nodded along. Like, okay, we should tell him when. He hasn't been like, here's why we need to evict Adam. They've not talked about it much at all. So it is definitely up in the air here.
Yeah, I think it's totally possible that they could be convinced about the whole loyalty thing and be like, we could have the pretty boys in the final three. I mean, I could see that happening. I think that that's probably the best argument that Adam could make to Anthony. I don't know if it would necessarily work with Dane, but I definitely think that Anthony might be swayed if you use that sort of, you know, loyalty. We could be the most dominant alliance and have ourselves in the final three. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to compete against the best of the best? Blah, blah, blah. So I could see that working on Anthony. I don't know if I could see it working on Dane, but it could. And I think that if Anthony was convinced, then Anthony could convince Dane. And then there you go. So there is a possibility that Adam stays. It seems to be slim at this point, but I do think there's a possibility and I'm hopeful that that's the case.
Me too.
Yes. All right. So that's really what we had. Dane, we saw Dane win the veto. And as I said, they talked about breaking the news to Adam. It was shortly after that that Arissa came on the screen and said, house guests, come to the living room. This is the surprise eviction that they did not see coming because they don't watch the feeds. And and so there you go. That's the feeds. The feeds cut from that point, and we do not know for sure what is going to happen from that point forward. And that's what we got for you.
It's very annoying that the feeds were cut during one of only two exciting weeks in this entire season. It's like, are you serious? We get one exciting week and now this would have been another exciting week and yet we get no feeds for it. Very frustrating.
One dreidel song. Oh, sorry. It's the Beaches reference. Never mind. Go ahead. No.
All right. Well, the state of the house has changed because the pretty boys are finally somewhat dead. Since the first roundtable of the season, the pretty boys have been the cornerstone of where the house is, the state of the house. Not quite the case anymore. The house has become a true free-for-all at this point. There are many a final two deal afloat, and which one is the real one is the real question that we need to ask in the state of the house. The final two deals, go ahead.
I'm just wanted to talk about this, because you discussed this on the morning updates, I think with Kirsten, where you were possibly Mary. I'm sorry. It all blends together. Where you were talking about the Pretty Boys being the most dominant alliance in history. Now you don't have to call them that anymore, because like how we don't refer to the detonators as the most dominant alliance, because it was just a tool of Derek and Cody to get to the end of the game. But I disagree with you on this one. I do consider the Pretty Boys to be the most dominant alliance in history, certainly BBCAN history. And it's definitely in the top two of Big Brother overall. I realize that things didn't work out for them insofar as getting all of them to the final four, but they would have had Kira not won HOH. And I hear what you're talking about with, you know, well, this is just if the alliance, basically Taryn's view of it is, if the alliance is just a tool of people within the alliance to control everybody else, then it is not necessarily a valid alliance. I mean, it's an alliance for the sake of them, but it's not something where everyone has equal partnership in it. But I do believe that they have been equal, and I do believe that they would have, like, if Kieran hadn't won HOH, I think they do go to a Final Four together. I think they are that dominant and that real. The fact that Dane and Anthony, you know, maybe have something that's a little bit closer to me doesn't negate how amazing the Pretty Boys have been. So I don't know if you want to get into that a little bit further, since we don't have a ton to talk about.
Yes. Well, first of all, I do believe that that at various points throughout the season, Mark would have turned on the Pretty Boys. And so I think Anthony would have as well in the double eviction leading up to the second double eviction, I should say. If Mark or Anthony had won that one, I do believe they would have turned and they would have gone after Adam at that point. If Mark had won the final five HOH, I know for a fact he would have gone after Adam or Dane. He would not have put Kira on the block. I believe he would have put anybody on the block except for Kira, because that's the person he wanted to take to the final two. So I do believe that part of why they even made it to the final five is because they didn't have the opportunity to betray each other.
But to stop you right there, though, Mark did win HOH a few weeks back, and he wanted to betray the Pretty Boys, but he couldn't do it. Like, he couldn't find a way to get it done where he got Dane out of the house or Adam out of the house. Adam won the veto, obviously, but right. he couldn't find a way to do it. But I mean, that to me shows the strength of the alliance, not necessarily the weakness of the individual.
No, yeah. And again, I mean, that was the wrong time. If he had won at a different time, like that double eviction, then I think he could have gotten Adam out. And I'm not saying that the Pretty Boys were not a dominant alliance. They certainly have been, in my opinion, the most dominant alliance in Big Brother Canada history. But I personally feel like the Brigade retains their title, which is my, you know, I don't think they have the, you know, consensus title. I don't think that everyone believes that the Brigade is the best alliance ever. But I personally do, for the reasons that I've stated, because I do believe that, you know, because they all three made it to the final three, they were all somewhat equal partners. They did betray Matt, and Lane might have betrayed them for Brittany.
What do you mean might? He said he would. Like, I think he would have betrayed
Brittany. Well, I feel like that's an open question that people
But have. I feel like these are also open questions, too. Like, we could say that, but who knows? I do feel like there's a difference between the most dominant alliance and the most loyal alliance. And do I think that the Pretty Boys are the most loyal alliance? No. Do I think they're the most dominant alliance? Yeah, maybe, because, you know, they were basically controlling literally the entire game.
They're the entire story of the season.
Yeah, they're the entire story. They won, like, almost every competition. I can't even, like, think of other competitions that people didn't win besides, like, Sam's HOH and, I guess, Kira. But other than that, like, they won, like, everything. And then if somebody did win that was outside of their alliance, the next week they were gone.
Right. So what I'm saying is that the Brigade was not flawless either. They had similar hangups in that that Matt was betrayed and that Lane could have turned on them at the final four. But I do feel like the betrayals and the potential for betrayal was greater within the Pretty Boys. I think that throughout the season, the Pretty Boys had a lot of control. They won a lot more competitions. But despite that, I feel like the Brigade was even safer than the Pretty Boys had been. Nobody ever even came close to really touching the brigade. Nobody really saw what they were doing. Like, the pretty boys had been caught multiple times. They didn't have to win as many competitions in order to retain the control that they did over the house. And then, as I said, they all got to the final three together, which I do think matters to an extent as well. So I do think there are a lot of different reasons why I would say, you know, the brigade holds the title. If the pretty boys had made it to the final four, I would have said, hey, there's a really strong debate that we can have here between the brigade and the pretty boys. The brigade, I feel like, played a stronger game throughout the season, but the pretty boys finished stronger. Now I feel like the pretty boys did not finish stronger. And so for me, it's not as much of a question anymore.
All right. Well, I'm doing a flash poll while this is going on. I'm going to leave the poll up for a half hour. Y'all can vote. Go to my Twitter at One Lucky Gay. I'm going to post it right now. Which is the most dominant alliance in Big Brother history, in your opinion? So you guys get to pick. And I'm not trying to shade it either one way. I think Taryn has valid points. I kind of want to see what everybody else has to think about this. Try to set aside recency bias if you can. I feel like the people who respond to our polls are very learned anyway. Go ahead, Taryn, or whoever.
Well, I think it also has to do with the fact that, like, there are different definitions for what people think are a dominant alliance. Mm-hmm. Like, does it mean to be a dominant alliance that the alliance is so tight that they're never going to betray each other, that they, like, go together as, like, a cohesive group, even though there may be, I mean, like, does it affect your opinion of whether they're dominant or not if people are secretly like, if I get power, I'm going to betray them, but then no one gets power and then they end up going to the end? Like, to me, that is still dominant because it didn't happen. Like, saying like, well, they would have betrayed them. To me, I'm thinking like, well, but they didn't, even though they didn't get the opportunity and maybe they would have, they didn't. So that's taken out of the equation. And to me, I'm not looking at loyalty. I'm looking at being dominant over the season. Yeah.
Well, like, I like to look at everything, and I don't throw away pieces of evidence myself. So.
Oh, please. Like, get out of here, Taryn. Look, I'm just saying that I think there's a difference between a loyal alliance, like who is the most loyal, who's the most, sure, you know, versus who's the most dominant. And I think that you can't, you know, you also can't just throw away the fact that they dominated the entire season. And they dominated everyone else who was there.
Right. And I think the brigade did as well. And honestly, I might even say that the pretty boys were more loyal than the brigade as a whole, just because the brigade turned on Matt a lot quicker than the pretty boys turned on anyone else. So I'm not saying that, like, oh, loyalty means that the brigade is better. I'm saying that the end result plus the means to get there, plus all of the other flaws that the pretty boys had, like being exposed, like needing to win as many competitions as they did in order to retain that control, I think all of those factor in for me. And we will, of course, this is a question that I wanted to address in the wrap up at the end of the season. It will definitely be a question on that form as well. You know, where you would rank the pretty boys in the all time list of alliances. We'll try to figure out how to word that question the best. But I did ask in this form, does it diminish the legacy of the pretty boys if they evict Adam over Kira at the final four?
I think it does.
I think yes. It doesn't. What did people say? Or would you
about two thirds of the audience, about 66%, said yes, it diminishes the legacy of the pretty boys.
I think it does, because the whole point is, like, you want to be able to look fondly at the season and being like, they had the best top three or final three of all time, or whatever you want to say. Like, they had the strongest final three. That was, like, a great final three. We had three amazing players in the final three. And if we don't have that, I just feel like, what was the point of all this conversation about, you know, being loyal to the soil and, like, competing against the best and being a lion and all that sort of stuff? It just seems like that was all just garbage spewing out of their mouths.
Like, I don't feel like it's garbage. From where I'm coming from, I feel like that the alliance served its purpose. Like, the alliance is to protect you throughout the game. They got all of themselves to the end of the game. They got themselves to the final
not all the way.
They got
final
all
five is
of
not
them.
The end of the game. Tell that to their checkbooks.
Okay, I'm just saying they got themselves to the final five. It is so, like, there's only four of you in the alliance, and you got yourselves to the final five. Please tell me how you can be any more dominant than that.
And well, getting to the final three.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is I think that the fact that Kira won that HOH, I don't think that diminishes it. I think it's like, man, that was wild that Kira won that.
Exactly.
And they had to get rid of one of their people. And not only did they do that, they got rid of like their weakest player that no one wanted to see stick around. So it was like, okay, cool. Get him out of the way and let's have the real competitors duke it out. Then they get down to it and they're like, okay, we have the three top competitors this whole season. We're gonna duke it out in the final three. Oh wait, no, we're not. Bye, Adam. Like the one that everyone wants to see.
But we don't know he was evicted, though. I mean,
no,
like,
I know. I'm just saying
if Adam was evicted, was
if
they don't, I'm gonna be like, yeah, pretty boys, you guys did it. This is the strongest final three I've seen in a while. Sorry, I just hit my mic.
Jennifer in the chat said, I agree with Taryn, but who has a checkbook anymore?
I do.
Fair point.
I do right here. Sorry.
Just readily available.
Readily available.
I'm looking at Brent. I'm looking at your poll right here.
Yes.
With 150.
I don't get to put out my poll very often. I'm very glad about
it. With 150 votes in right now, nearly 70% say the Brigade was the more dominant alliance.
Well, but here's also the thing with that is that I don't want to say that the Pretty Boys were better than the Brigade or more dominant than the Brigade. I don't want to say that at all because I enjoyed the Brigade so much more. So I also think that there's a situation where people are voting for the Brigade because they want that to be the case.
I mean, that might be it.
But I was the one who put up the poll and they're telling me what they feel. So I can't like say, oh, well, now I, you know.
No, totally I know. But like if I were to see that question, I would be like, the Brigade, duh. Like the Pretty Boys suck, you know, because nobody wants to be like the Brigade is like their legacy is being, you know, corrupted by this like alliance that everyone hates. Like no one wants that.
I will say I joked about like, oh, I won't have to call the Pretty Boys the most dominant alliance. I was excited to see the Pretty Boys as the most dominant alliance of all time. I mean, I that's what I watched the show for. I was excited for it. I really do want them to be considered the most dominant alliance of all time. But I do personally feel like they did fumble the ball at the, you know, 90 yard line or whatever it is. 10. I don't know.
Oh my God.
whatever football thing people are talking about.
Close to the touchdown area.
Yeah. 5 yards to go.
They fumbled the ball. They fumbled the ball somewhere on the field. We don't know where. Whatever means the most in this situation.
It's so sad. So sad.
Whatever makes the most sense.
I'm the only person who knows what we're talking about here. Anyway.
What is it? Is it 90 or is it 10?
It's 10.
Okay.
The 90 is already gone. If you're at the 10 yard line, if you're almost there, then you only have 10 more yards to go.
So it goes to 50 and then it's 40 on either side. Okay.
It's 50. It's 50 and it's 50 yard line in the middle and 50 yards on either side. Yes.
We have the chat saying, go team. Sports.
I can't remember, fumbled at the goal line.
That's
goal
what
line?
You want to say. Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah,
fumbled at the place where it shouldn't be fumbled.
Yeah,
a little longer, but you know, get the point across.
Like when you lose the ball or you lose control of something, when you're like right there, like you almost made it, you're just about ready to cross the plane of the end zone, and you fumble the ball, which has happened before. So I guess that's what they're doing here. But I still think they're so freaking great. I don't want to diminish them as an alliance because they've been the entire narrative of the season. There hasn't been any other alliance even named that I can remember.
The Youngbloods.
Oh, yeah. But that was the two of them.
That's Trinomites.
The people that are just like, oh, we're friends.
Apparently, there was the Celebrators. Apparently, I forgot. Who was this? Was that in a different season? Somebody in the chat.
I don't even know what those things are.
Celebrators.
All I know is that I'm very, very glad that, I mean, look, here's the thing is I think we could go back to one of the first podcasts of the season where I'm sitting there like, yeah, we're not going to have to say the Pretty Boys for much longer. That alliance is not going to last. And now look at us. I've had to say Pretty Boys more times than I wanted to say throughout this entire season.
Yes.
So they've given us that.
To be very clear, the Pretty Boys are easily the most dominant alliance in Big Brother Canada history. And And they probably are, in my opinion, the second place most dominant alliance in the history of the show. And that's, by the way, another qualification that I personally have is that you need more than two people, because two people alliances, it's very easy to make it to the, well, not very easy to make it to the final two, but it's a lot easier to make it to the final two with two people.
And not betray each other.
Exactly. So that's why, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily that, you know, like the Renegades or the Hitmen. I wouldn't really include them in that list. It's a different list.
I agree. I see the chat telling me some of the names. I'm aware of all these names, but like it hasn't made the narrative of the show. It hasn't really made our recaps, like our updates in the mornings. Like the Pretty Boys front line and center. Come on.
The only alliances I've known about this entire season, like really known about, like, to the point where we would cover it, is the Pretty Boys and the Young Blood, and that doesn't count. The Young Blood thing doesn't count. Yeah, so
as I said, from the first roundtable of the season to this one, it's always been the State of the House, Pretty Boys, like subsidiaries. And this is the first week where that is not the case, because the Pretty Boys have, in fact, now dissolved. So there you go. Back to the State of the House, where the Pretty Boys are no longer a thing. It's just final two deals. And so the question becomes, which final two deal is the real one? You have Dane and Adam. They have a final two deal.
Not real.
Not real on Dane's part. I think that Adam will take Dane.
I think it's real on Adam's part.
We have,
that is so sad. That's always so sad when it's like, oh, it's totally real on one person's part. And the other person's like, yeah, right.
Well, see, the last notable time I can remember that happening was the Fortress. And so I think what we're saying here is that Adam will come back and win another season by winning a bunch of competitions, which seems very likely to me.
Oh, well, the chat would love that. I think we have enough people.
And then yes. Dane and Anthony have a final two. I believe this is genuine on Anthony's part, but at the same time, I feel like Anthony doesn't really feel the need to decide which one's genuine, because he knows that he's not going to win this competition. But if for some reason Anthony won this, I think he would probably take Dane, thinking that he can beat him. And I don't know, maybe he could, but I think it'd be close. And I think he would easily beat Kira. So
yeah, I agree. Somebody was asking me in the chat last night. I think I responded to them in the chat that Dane has been saying, oh, I think it's going to be 4-3, you know, taking Anthony to the end. What he means by that is it's going to be close. He doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to lose 4-3, but he also, you can't talk to somebody and say, yeah, I'm taking you to the end and I know I'm going to blow you out. Like, unless you're Anthony, who, you know, I think of a couple weeks ago, he's like, I'm going to beat all of you. you have to make it seem like it's a good deal for both people to go to the end, because if you make it seem too extreme on one side or the other, they're not going to believe you. If you say, hey, I'm taking you to the end and I know you're going to beat me, they're probably going to get a little nervous that you're aware that you're going to beat them. If you take somebody to the end of the game and say, yeah, I know that I'm going to beat you, you sound like an asshole. So I feel like that Dane has it right, where he's saying, yeah, it's going to be really close, 4-3, you know, who knows, but we're legends, man. We're legends.
And by the way, as I mentioned, I went over Dane's game this morning. He's used that exact line on Adam and I believe also on Mark. So
the 4-3, like, were legends. Kind of thing?
The exact wording, definitely with Adam. I think he used something similar with Mark. So this is not something that he's shied away from telling other people as
you
well.
You know what bugs me about Dane? Can I just like rant for a second? What bugs me? That he won't own his line, that he won't own his shit. He plays the game hard and he does lie when he needs to, but he's not like owning the fact that, yeah, I'm deceiving you here. I'm actually not telling you the truth here. It still bugs the shit out of me that he's still willing to swear on his father after he broke that swear during the first or second week of the show. And somehow it still has meaning to him. I feel like that it's a bad look for him. I wish he would do better. What?
Are you saying he's supposed to be like, haha, I lied to you and I got away with it? Like, what are you?
I guess. I mean, I want a little bit more than what he's giving me. I'm just my personal preference on how I like it. I feel like he's being a little bit hypocritical, like pretending to be virtuous when he is not. And I feel like Anthony's owning his shit more in the diary room.
In the diary, well, I mean, he is not really in control of what they air in the diary room, but he has definitely talked to the cameras about, like I'm a liar. Like, I mean, that was one of the cornerstones of my recap today, was that he would often go to the cameras and be like, sorry, yeah, Canada, my word is no good.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's just because he's not doing it to the people that I want him to do it to. Like when he was deceiving Kira and stuff, was like, oh, those were fake tears, Kira. I can't believe you bought that. Like, that was great to see. I love stuff like that. I guess I'm still looking for his true intentions, and I'm irritated with him because I can't tell if he's like, it seems like from what I, again, as you heard me say earlier in the podcast, it seems like he's going to take Anthony to the final two. But then I'm like, but you're a smart guy, so why would you do that? Like, why? Again, we talked about this before. Like, I don't understand. If he's going to stay loyal to the Pretty Boys, that's fine. Take Adam to the end of the game with Anthony, fight it out, see what happens. You can also cut Adam at the final four and then cut Anthony at the final three and take Kira to the end of the game. That's okay, too. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot betray Adam at final four and then somehow weirdly keep Anthony in a sense of loyalty to and take him to the final two, because I think then you will lose the game. You won't have a leg to stand on. Are you with me on this or no?
I agree. I think that is a very dangerous move to make. I think from Dane's perspective, what he would say was, the Pretty Boys was nice, but it was always me and Anthony. That was the true thing. I was only really loyal to Anthony throughout the game. And that's kind of comes into what I was saying about the Pretty Boys kind of being a tool for Dane to use.
Dane takes Anthony to the end of the game, then I think that your assessment that it is not the most dominant alliance is probably correct, because then it would just be a tool of his to get him and Anthony to the end of the game.
If Dane says that the Pretty Boys were nothing and that he and Anthony were the end all be all, I will like lose all respect for Dane's game, because that's not been the case at all. If it was a situation where it was like the two of them knew, like, okay, it's the two of us, but we've got these other guys on the side, then that's fine. But that has never been the case. The entire game, okay, you make a final two on day two, who cares? The rest of the game, you wasn't the two of you guys acting together. It seemed more like it was,
yeah, it was Adam and with you. And Mark. I'm with you, because, Taryn, it does feel like they brought it up as a convenience kind of thing. Like, yeah, they made it on day two, but then it was like, it came up, you know, randomly throughout the season.
I can tell you, again, having gone through Dane's game very recently, he did check in with Anthony and planned with Anthony way more than anybody else. They really were on the same page for most of the season, planning things out, going after Sam, doing various things. They did split apart when they disagreed about Corey, and that's when things started to shift a little bit.
I think it's but recently.
I also don't think that Anthony was seeing it that way. I don't think that Anthony was seeing, like, Dane and me, it's the two of us, and we're gonna make it to the end, and these guys are gonna help us. Like, I don't think Anthony was thinking
that. I think Anthony was the best of them, because he was the most self-interested. Like, it was never about anybody in particular. It was about, who can I get to take me to the end of the game? Because as you saw on the episode last night, he's like, winning comps? Why would I win comps? Why would I study my days? Like, he always knew that he was going to need somebody to take him.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, like, I'm totally down with what Anthony's whole thing about it's just him and only him, and he just needs to make these, like, relationships. Got it. Like, that, I like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that Dane is sitting there, like, crafting this thing about how him and Anthony are the two, if Anthony was feeling the same way, maybe I'd see it differently. But I just don't see that Anthony is viewing their alliance and their relationship the same as Dane is viewing it. And so it makes me think that Dane doesn't understand what's been going on this whole time. I don't respect it.
Do you think that it could be an instance of Dane, like, being what Melissa said, like, not knowing what he really wants to do? Like, he kind of wants to take the Pretty Boys to the end, but he kind of likes Anthony and really wants to take him to the end. Like, I feel like it could be a party situation from Big Brother Canada too, where he, like, wants to do this and then changes his mind late, but he's sort of juggling. He's trying to not make a decision.
Well, okay, so let me give you the perspective that I have on this, having gone through Dane's game recently.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I just want to say right up front before you start that I did not listen to that podcast yet. I plan to, because I want to hear it. You did it today, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, sounds good. Everybody listen to that podcast, because I feel like that we could really gain some insight into Dane's game
So basically, I think from Dane's perspective, he came into the game, he fist pumped with Adam, but he really bonded with Anthony on day two, and he chose Anthony as the person he really wanted to work with within the Pretty Boys, more so than Adam and Mark. I think he was loyal to that, and he said as much to the cameras throughout many times in the season, and worked very closely with Anthony, far more closely than with Adam. And in fact, in many points during the first, you know, half of the season, he was lying to Adam about various things that Esty and Kiki were saying, where he told the truth to Anthony. He said, "Anthony, you need to watch out for Esty. She's saying your name. She's going after Adam." And he would go to Adam and say, "Oh, she's not going after you. No, definitely not." He was telling the truth to Anthony, not to Adam or Mark. He was working Mark and Adam at various points throughout the season, telling them, "Oh, we got to take each other. We are each other's best shots." But he would always tell the cameras that he was going to take Anthony. He wanted to go to the final three with Adam and Anthony at that point in time, because he was very confident that both of them would take him to the final two. Anthony, from Anthony's side of things, we don't know as much because Anthony did not talk to the cameras as much, but Anthony only ever talked final two with Dane until the Corey situation happened. And at that point, he started talking final two with other people. I don't think he even talked final two with Corey. It wasn't until he decided he was not on board with Dane anymore after the Corey situation that he started to talk to Mark about some things. I don't think he even ever really made a solid final two with Mark. We know that he did with Kira eventually, and then with Adam, and you know, we saw what happened there. But I do think that for the weeks leading up to the Corey eviction, it really was Dane and Anthony working in tandem for a long time, and then they did kind of split apart because their interests separated a little bit, and then they eventually came back together with that big pitch that Dane made to say, "Hey, you know, we've been going our separate ways, but we need to come back together." And so that's what happened. That's my perspective on it, having just gone through Dane's game here, and also I've been, you know, writing my notes for Anthony's game well.
I think my issue with the whole thing is it's very reminiscent to me of when Josh was like, Paul and I and Christmas have had an alliance. This is the whole game. We've been working together. And Paul's sitting here on the other side like, no, we have not had it. Like, it hasn't been the three of us working together this whole time. Like, I've been using every single person here, and I had alliance with every single person here. And it reminds me of that, where it's like one person's like totally on board and is like, guess what? We fooled you. We've had an alliance this whole time, just us. And the other person's like, well, we did kind of have an alliance, but I also was with other people at the same time. Like, and that's what it's reminding me of. It's like Dane is the Josh in this scenario. Not as bad, obviously, but just, you know, that's what it's reminding me of. And that's why I'm having a hard time being like, yeah, it's the two of them this whole time. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
that Dane and Anthony were working more together, much more closely than Josh.
Yeah, I know, but it just reminds me of that, person is more invested in this tight little group, and then the other person's like, well, I've got other things going on, but yeah, I was working with you.
Well, because that's the thing. Dane is the one that had other things going on. Anthony is the one that was fully all in on Dane up until the Corey situation. He had a couple of other allies. He hadn't even really worked on Mark until Mark was HOH, and that was the Corey situation. He had Corey, but that was mostly to protect Dane, that he had been working on Corey as an asset to use to benefit him and Dane moving forward, and that's one of the reasons why he was so mad that Dane was taking.
And that's why Corey thought Dane was going to vote to keep her, because they were working together. Yeah, I think that I'm probably being fooled a little bit by the Corey week of it all. Like, when everything quote unquote started to break apart, and Dane and Anthony were on, you know, opposite sides of something, because that's to me when the season really started to sizzle. Like all of the stuff that happened like weeks 1 through 7, it's not as fresh in my mind as the stuff that's happened more recently. So I really want to listen to this podcast and hear it, because I think I probably need to, actually.
and I'll make sure to, when I go over Anthony's game as well, to pinpoint those moments where they were really working together.
Who are you doing tomorrow?
Coordinating things. I'm going to be talking about Anthony tomorrow.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good. So we have time to evaluate.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's good. Okay.
So that's, I do think that if Dane takes Anthony, that will be what he says. And that said, I don't think that, that necessarily means that, that Dane, like, I could see this as Dane trying to be like the Derek in this situation, being like, well, yeah, I would take Cody because I beat Cody. Why wouldn't I take Cody? So if Dane takes Anthony, I think that he will be like, oh, of course, I'm loyal. But at the same time, he would be like, well, no, I also knew I could beat him.
Melissa, I don't always agree with you, but I hear what you're saying in the Josh and Paul comparison. I don't think it's like terribly similar, but there are emanations of each one where I feel like that I see where you're coming from on that. And it does feel to me that one person has a little bit more equity invested in the situation than the other, and the other person has options. But at the end of the day, I do feel like they were probably the two most loyal people in the house to each other. And so I guess I'm a little fancy Fencerton on it. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, this all comes back to, will Dane actually take Anthony? And my answer is, I don't know. I would probably lean toward him, yes, taking Anthony. And in the reason I think that is because I do think that he feels like he can beat Anthony. I think that if he was looking at a decision where he really thought he could lose to Anthony, I do think he would take Kira. But I think he feels pretty confident. And I think because of that, he might take Anthony. And if he doesn't take Anthony, I think it's because he's not confident he can beat him. And that's why he ends up cutting Anthony. I think he would love to have his cake and eat it too, if possible. And so that's why I do lean toward him taking Anthony. But again, we saw in the episode, and he was like, this concerns me that he never touched the block. That could be him indicating to us that I don't really want to take him to the end. And that's why I'm giving him this statistic, because it doesn't matter, because he won't be there. We also, of course, have Dane and Kira. I do believe this is genuine on Kira's part, that Kira will take Dane to the end. But Anthony has been known to, I don't want to say control Kira's actions and decisions, but maybe just say that he does them for them. Maybe that's the better way to say it. I don't know, that he gets them to do them for him.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to come up with any other way to say he controls them, because they don't like that.
Yeah, I know they don't like that, but that's the truth. And I'm going to tell them that when they get out of the house. In fact, I think the odds are probably going to be blocked by Kira within a week of getting out of the Big Brother house, but I'll try and keep it cool.
When I talk to Kira in the final three, I'm going to be like, hey, there's this guy, Brent, you should block him immediately.
Stop. I'm trying. But that's the real tea. Like, I'm sorry, you were really manipulated by Anthony. Like, I hope that they can recognize that when they get out of the house. Like, the best thing you can say is, yeah, I'm sorry, I was manipulated by Anthony. He's so good. He got me. And I'd be like, oh, great. That's great. Mm-hmm. But if you try to do like the Devons of it all and try to explain it and whatever. Okay.
And say, I make all my own decisions. Like, yeah. No, sorry.
Sorry. You were not controlling anything.
Yes. No.
So I do believe that Kira intends to take Dane, but you never know what Anthony can stir up if he is given the opportunity. So I would not put it past Anthony to be able to talk Kira into taking him at the end of the day. And he does have a final two with Kira as well, Anthony and Kira. I think neither of them are loyal to this final two at the moment, but we'll see what happens. Okay. So. That's what we've got. If the final three is Dane, Kira, and Anthony, I think right now, Dane, I lean toward him taking Anthony. I think Anthony would take Dane, and I think that Kira would take Dane, but with the caveat of Anthony might be able to change their mind when the feeds are down and we don't see it happen. If Adam is in the final three, I believe Adam will take Dane will take Anthony, and Anthony will take Dane. I believe that is a lot more set in stone.
So it seems like most likely final two will be Dane and Anthony.
I believe so.
I believe so.
It sounds like, yeah.
I believe so. So that's what we have for you, talking about the state of the house. Are you guys ready to get into the stock watch?
I am.
All right. Let's do it here. Here we go. Here we go. We're going to start with Dane. Dane, who is our HOH, a guaranteed spot in the final three. He also won the veto, so he's doubly assured yes. of making that final three. I can start with Dane here. I feel very confident in Dane. I think that he is almost definitely sitting in the final two. The only way he does not sit in the final two is if Adam goes home and Kira wins the final three HOH and Anthony convinces Kira to take Anthony instead of Dane, even though that's not their current intention. That is very possible, but I think all other scenarios lead to Dane sitting in the final two. And if he is sitting in the final two, I do think Anthony has a very real chance. In fact, he might even be the more probable winner against Dane, but I think it will be very close. And the fact that it will be very close tells me that he has a very, very good and solid chance of winning this game. I personally gave Dane a 9 out of 10. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm in agreement on that. I gave Dane a 9 last week, and I'm sticking with my 9.
I gave Dane an 8 last week, and I'm actually sticking with my 8. I feel like that he has done some good things for his game, and certainly it seems to for all outside appearances, to guarantee himself final 2, so that's great, and I think he has a great shot to win. I still think that Anthony is the favorite, and if he makes the boneheaded move of taking Anthony to the final 2 and loses, I mean, that will just be a mistake to end all mistakes. It will be like terribleness. And I think it's very likely to happen. So I give him an 8, and I'm giving him a little bit of room to grow. Again, I do not view Dane as the favorite to win the game. I view Anthony as the favorite to win the game. I still can't believe you guys are believing Mark and what he said. And Corey's voting for Anthony all day long and twice on Sunday. So come on.
All right. Well, the audience is actually higher on Dane than Brent is. The audience gave Dane the coveted 9 out of 10.
Good job, you guys.
Yes, very, very
well,
rare.
Close. I mean, I could have given him a 9. I mean, it's close. I'm just saying that I think he's too loyal to Anthony for his own good. Same way I gave Adam a little bit of a lower score than Taryn all season long, because I always felt that Adam was too loyal to the pretty boys for his own good. Again, Adam was wanting to keep Dane in the house last week, trying to keep Dane in the house, and it's very likely that Dane is the cause of his eviction at Final Four. So explain that to me.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Dane is going to average out here at a 9 as he did last week. Now let's talk about Anthony, who also averaged out at a 9 last week, but with a higher percentage overall. Brent, you gave Anthony a 10 last week. You still think he's the favorite. Are you going to stick with your 10 this week?
I am not sticking with my 10 this week. I'm going to give him a 9. I'm going to give him a little bit of room to grow. I think that I am worried that when it ultimately, I always talk about this, like it's very easy to talk about things in theory and what you're going to do. But like I always said with Adam, if he's sitting there on eviction night, on freaking block next to Kira, you're telling me that you're not gonna evict him? Like, I always said that. People said, oh, you're crazy, Brent, please. But I knew what was gonna happen. Likewise, with Anthony, I'm a little worried. Like, if Dane has the power in the final three and it's Kira and Anthony at the end, and he's looking at the two of them and he can get rid of one of them and keep the other and sit, like, you can literally sit next to Kira? Are you kidding me? I feel like that's not good for Anthony. That's not good for business. So I'm going to give Anthony a 9.
All right. Melissa, what about you?
Yeah, I'm sticking with my rating from last week and giving him a 9 as well. I mean, I feel like I said everything that I wanted to say about both these guys last week. And I don't feel differently about them this week, especially with the lack of significant feeds. It's kind of hard to, you know, make a change right in my rating, but I still feel strongly that I really do think that Dane and Anthony are likely going to be the final two in any scenario, because, you know, if Kira stays or if Adam stays, I think that the odds are that Dane and Anthony will end up in the final two no matter what the situation. And so I think they're both playing really well.
Yes, I also went with a 9 for Anthony. I feel like he has a great shot to win this game if Dane takes him. And even if Kira wins, I do think he has a great chance of convincing Kira to take him, in which case I think he wins unanimously almost. I think that he has a great shot of winning this game. And so I gave him a 9 out of 10 as well. The audience, though, this time they are lower on Anthony than we were, barely giving him an 8, much lower on Anthony than they were on Dane, almost a full point below. So That was surprising. But yep. He's still going to average out at a 9. In fact, it's going to be the exact same average there. So I think that's fitting for our potential final two.
Definitely. That is that is odd to me that they would give Anthony a lower score.
They don't
score.
Like him as much.
Yeah.
They don't. They think he's condescending. They think he's misogynistic. They think he's a bit of an ass. I see Banana in the chat always calling him Anthole. I know, right? Whatever. Like, they don't like him. There's a lot of people that just don't like Anthony. Again, I
don't see why.
How often do we get the black alpha on reality television? It doesn't happen a lot. I am so psyched to see this character on my reality television. Like, appreciate it while we have it. It's just,
yeah, I also think that
they don't cast this very often.
None of the people on this season have been bad people. Like, I don't think any of them have come to the level of being a bad person or someone that I.
Oh yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? I just feel like there have been past seasons with like bullying and stuff like that where it's been like unacceptable to me, where it's just like, these are not good people. I'm very upset about this. None of these people on this season are bad people. And I think that I just think that it's a little harsh to sit there and maybe compare these people to some of the past people or say that they're bad people. And I just don't think it's appropriate in this situation.
All right. Well,
they're so Canadian, Melissa.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just so nice.
They're still Canadian.
Well, let's talk about Adam, who we think is probably evicted, but we can't be sure. And that will impact his rating, I'm sure. Last week, he had an average of 9. I expect this to go down. What do you think?
Yeah, this is really tough. I'm not using the paddle this week. Everybody's getting a score of 2 or higher for me. I gave Adam a 3. And I still hold out a little bit of hope that he is able, like, he should be able to sniff this out. His spidey sense should be going off here. I even watched him on the feeds before they were cut saying to Anthony and Dane while they were in the kitchen, you know, hey, this is so great. We finally did this. Other alliances haven't been as good as us because they got tempted and they cut each other, but we're not going to do that. Right. And, you know, and I don't think that he got as much affirmation as he was necessarily looking for. Like, he has to, you can tell when Adam's worried, like I said, whenever he's stroking his beard, he's worried. He should know that something's up here. I have to believe in that 45 minutes that they have to get ready for the eviction that he went to them and say, hey, like, you're keeping me, right? Like, you're not going to blindside me. And I mean, like, if he went to Dane might lie to him, because like we said, Dane can be a bit of a liar sometimes. Like, he didn't even tell Esty, for God's sake. So I don't know. He might not. If he goes to Anthony, I feel like Anthony would tell him. And in that time, I feel like he might be able to get him to change his mind. Maybe not, but maybe so. So I feel like a 3 is warranted here. It's not a 1.
Yes. I also gave Adam a 3. Actually, okay. I went with a 3 there because I feel like there is a non-zero chance that Adam stays in the game at Final Four. If Adam stays in the game at Final Four, I think he has like a 50% chance of getting to the final two, and then another 50% chance of winning the game. And that's real close to winning the game. So, you know, maybe a small chance he stays at Final Four, but if he does, big chance to win the game. And so I think that gets him up there to a 3 for me. And so that's what I went with. Melissa, what did you go with for Adam?
I think I'm going to be an outlier here.
Okay, be an outlier. I have been many times.
I think I'm just going to do it because I'm going to give Adam an 8. Because I think that if he stays, and I don't know if he'll stay, but I could see a situation where he convinces them to keep him due to their insistency on loyalty. And so I think that if Adam does manage to stay, and we've seen crazy things happen this season in terms of Dane staying and all that sort of stuff, I just think that if he stays, I could absolutely see him winning this game. And so I don't think he's drawing dead, and I think he's playing just as well as he did last week and the week before. And I think that it's unfair for me to give him a low score just because there's a possibility that he could go out. And I think that
Well, let me stop you right there before you continue on, because it's not just about like I feel like playing wise, he's played pretty well, like just as well as he did last week, maybe just as good. But he had two chances to win competitions and he blew them both. I feel like that has to be held. He has to be held accountable for that. And also his position has worsened than last week. Like last week, he won.
It's
the
only
veto.
Worsened because he's on the like he's on no, the block at the
never
end.
Been on the block like, before.
I just feel like I think
he's never been on the block on eviction night.
Here's the thing though, is that when I'm calculating these ratings, I'm calculating by how well they're playing the game. And I don't necessarily think like, okay, did they win this competition? Did they not win this competition? I think that like last week, Kira won the HOH, and yet we all still rated her a one or them a one. So I don't think that the fact that they were HOH really affected my analysis, because it meant nothing to my analysis because they were playing so poorly. And I think that just because Adam didn't win, I think there's a chance for him to stay. And if there's a chance for him to stay, I don't think he's drawing dead. So I definitely won't rate him like a one or a two or whatever. Right. I think that if I were to rate him a five, to me, that means he's not doing anything. And to me, that means he's not playing very well. And I do think he's playing really well. And I think that there's a chance that when the feeds went off, something might have happened. I think that Adam is a good player. And I think that he could pull something off. I want to give him the rating that I would give him had there not been an eviction already. I would give him an eight because I would think there's a chance he can pull something off, and I could see it in his future, him pulling it off. So that's why I'm giving him an eight. And I know it's weird.
No, I love it. It's great. I fucking love it, Melissa. No. Like the chat is going crazy, but I love the fact that they're going crazy, because usually like I'm the person who's making them go crazy.
Yeah, my ratings are usually just a five straight across the board.
Yeah, so like
it was boring reading.
Don't knock it. I love the fact that you gave him an eight. It's your right to give him a score that you want. And I feel like that I've always said that Adam is too loyal to the pretty boys. I feel like that invoice is coming due this week, and that's why I lowered his score, because he walked this tightrope so far and continue to be loyal to this idea that itself was not loyal back to him. And I feel like he has to pay for that in my rating, but I understand where you're coming.
Yes. So an eight from Melissa, threes from Brent and myself, the audience.
What did the audience do?
The audience kind of split the difference. The audience went with a five.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Adam. Yeah.
So what's that average out to be?
I think a five.
That's probably our weirdest rating we've had.
It probably is. I think it's gonna be a five.
Yep, it's a five.
Okay. Adam's gonna average out there at a five for the
probably going home.
Yeah, for a guy that could already be out of the house. Let's talk about Kira, who was frozen last week because they got an average of one.
We're changing this for next week, next year. I just want you guys to know, or at least I'm going to try. I'm going to try to get this changed for next week, because I went to Taryn. I went to Alexandra. I wanted to buy Kira because they were at a one, and I felt like it was my only way to catch up, but they wouldn't let me do it because they said it was frozen. Again, I understand the idea of freezing Kira where you can't sell them. Like if you bought Kira and they went down to a one, you shouldn't be able to sell them because that's the lowest it can go. But if I want to bet on Kira and their potential to win the game, I should be able to buy them at a one. Everybody else has the right to as well. So I feel like next year we'll get this fixed. But for now, we couldn't allow it. So I could not buy any Kira, so I have to rate them accordingly insofar as how I view their game without me having any impact on it whatsoever.
Right. Basically, the logic behind this when we came up with the rule was that because there's no zero... Because there's no zero rating, that one will essentially function as a zero in order to make things more exciting, so that people can actually go and drop and be froze. They're worthless. They're worthless right. in the game. And part of that too is that priced it's so low, priced at $1. They're priced at $1 because their chances to win the game are are basically null and void. And they're so like the upside of buying at $1 and then it goes up by, you know, $2 because they've slightly increased their ability to win the game, but if they haven't won the game, the benefit of that is dramatically higher than even just somebody priced at $2. And so there's things that we have to work out in terms of how to make that work, have somebody be priced at basically $0 and off the market. Maybe that we can give like we can have a fee for buying in and, you know, Kira would be, you know, cost maybe $2 or $3, mm-hmm. Something along those lines. If you really believe in them and you really think that they can win the game, because then those shares will be worth 10 at the end. And that's where the real value should lie. But we did make the rule prior to the season starting.
We did. One I just want you all to know that so. I fought for you guys. I tried to get Taryn change his mind. I tried to get Alexander.
It wasn't about me changing my mind.
I know. That's the way we've done it all season. I didn't like it back when Kiki was a one, and I was like, well, why can't I buy Kiki if I want to? I feel like what I want to just tell everybody is we will work on it. We're trying to.
We're always changing. We're always reiterating. We're trying to make things better.
Yes, we're trying to make things better. Yes. But for now, I gave Kira, as far as rating them goes, I gave them a 3. And I do believe that their chances of winning the game are higher than what they were last week. If we're saying that they were essentially null and void last week, they've certainly risen, in my opinion, because I was not previously aware that they had this much of a chance to win the game. I feel like things have changed a little bit where even though Mark's saying he won't vote for Kira at the end, I feel like there might be some people on the jury who might vote for Kira. Like I agree with your assessment though about Adam and Kira. Like if that relationship hadn't dissolved and they had never betrayed Adam in the way that they did, I think their chances of winning the game would be much higher than it is right now. They so burned Adam. Like he's going to feel burned by Dane and Anthony if he goes home at 4. He's also going to feel burned by Kira. So it all like comes out in the wash. So I feel like a 3 is probably the best rating. I almost want to give them a 2, but I feel like since they're going to be in the house and probably Adam isn't, although again, who knows? I feel like I should give them not a lower score. So I give them a 3. Sorry. That probably didn't make sense.
All right, Melissa, what do you think?
I'm going to give Kira a 2 because last week I gave them a 1. I did not think they'd be around. I figured that this week they would absolutely get cut. I didn't think there was a chance that the 3 pretty boys wouldn't try and make their way to the end together. So yeah. Now that that's even an option, I'm starting to think that their chances are certainly better than last week. Do I think their chances are great? No, but I do think there's a situation where there could be bitter juries. I mean, crazier things have happened and lately we've seen a lot of bitter juries. So I could see a situation where Kira ends up getting the vote somehow.
If Kira gets to the end of the game and gives like a Paris-esque, you know.
Yeah, like I was all on my own.
Kira, hear me roar kind of thing. I feel like there's a snowball's chance in hell that they could win the game.
Yeah. And so because I think their chance is better than last week, even though I don't think they are playing a good game and I don't think they're playing a winning game at all. And I think that they are playing just as bad as they did last week when they were HOH. That's why I don't want to give any higher than a 2, but because they have this little sliver of a chance, that's why I'm going to give them a 2.
Yes. I went a little crazy on Kira. I gave Kira a 4. Okay. I gave Kira an 8. I gave Kira a 9. Yeah. No, I gave Kira a 4. And that's just because I do believe, and the reason I didn't give Adam an 8 is because I think that he is very likely the person that left at the final 4. And if that's the case, then Kira is in the final 3. And if Kira is in the final 3, where Dane might take them to the end, because I think he might, where they could win themselves to the end, which I actually think might be worse for them, but still sitting in the final 2, I have a hard time giving anybody a score less than 4 if they're sitting there in the final 2. I really do. I feel like especially in the current climate of juries, and I really can see a scenario where Adam is mad enough at the boys for betraying him, where Mark wants to be a wild card, where Sam wants to vote for her friend, where Anthony is super mad at Dane for betraying him at final 3, where Damien, who talked in this season about how he did not agree with the rest of the house guests that Kayla deserved to win because nicer people should win. Just because you lie does not mean that you should win the game. I could easily see Damien being somebody that casts a vote for Kira in that spot. I don't want to underestimate Kira's chances. Do I think Kira is going to win the game? No, that's why they're a four. It's they're below average. I don't think they will win the game, but I did give them a four. It's maybe a little bit high, but what can you do?
That's okay. By the way, some people in the chat were a little confused. I'm not comparing Kira and Paris's game. Obviously, Paris played a hell of a game, much more so. Like, it's not even in the same universe as what Kira is doing. But what I'm trying to say is if their presentation in the final two is in the same vein as Paris or Kayla, and, you know, like, obviously Kira is non-binary, so I'm trying to make this make sense for you guys. Sort of like, I felt like Paris was like, I am woman, hear me roar, it's us two in the final two. Like, if they can have a moment, they need a moment in the final two, they can get the audience behind them, I feel like they can win the game. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like, they could sit there and say something like, you know, about how this season was dominated by men, and, yeah, you know, but look at me, I was able to fight my way tooth and nail on my own with, like, no one else was helping me. I lost my allies early in the game, you know, that sort of thing. And then if the audience gets behind them, you're right. Like, I'm sure that had an impact last season when they heard the jury and the audience cheering and going nutso over Paris's speeches. I think if that were to happen, you know, that could be something significant. The one thing is that, do I see the audience or the jury, you know, cheering for them like they did with Kayla or with Paris? I don't know.
Audiences are stupid. I feel like they can be manipulated into anything. I'm sorry, but they are. The chat is like, no, Brent, no, look, I'm not saying that I want Kira to win the game. Obviously, I don't, but I feel like it's my job to give them to present the best argument that they can. I did this with Karen in Big Brother Canada 5. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take up the mantle for Karen and give her, this is what she needs to say, this is what she needs to do, and this is the scenario that needs to happen for her to win the game. Same thing with Kira. If they have a moment on stage and they say, like when Melissa said, go for it, the season was, you know, supposedly ruled by men, but I made myself here, I'm the first non-binary house guest in the history of Big Brother Canada, and I got myself to the end with all of my allies leaving me, I deserve to win this game, I fought my way, you know, just like a bunch of, is it a bunch of BS? Yes. But
could you, yeah, you could,
but you could argue it.
Yeah,
and to be clear, like, if we want to, like, compare this, like, I believe I gave Casey an 8 in the final round of the Stock Watch in Big Brother 20. I would have given Karen a 1, personally. I would have felt a lot more comfortable with that. I felt like that she really had no chance. I would have given somebody like Josh a 7, probably.
I knew you hated Karen, by the way. I'm going to tell her that.
Well, look, what can I do? I was right. Like,
you were right. Yeah. By the way, not to interrupt, did you see that Aika tweeted about you?
Did she?
She did.
Subtweeted you because she didn't even tag you in it.
Tag you in it. Yes. In fact, I shall bring it up here because I want to tell you what Aika had to say about you, Taryn. She obviously watched the show last night. It's in my likes here. So where is it at? I'm looking for it. For the record, this is what she says. Aika Wong, 11 hours ago, for the record, at One Lucky Gay, has never thrown Taryn under the bus with me, LOL. Brent doesn't have to. I've seen the show.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yes, she's subtweeting, shading you, Taryn. That is what happened to you with Aika.
I mean... What can you do? I mean,
yeah, you got to feel honored.
I kind of am. I mean,
look, Aika has never even said my name once. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, about it.
Clearly. Wait, Brent, this is important. Did she spell my name right?
I think she did.
She did, but she didn't capitalize it.
Did she capitalize anything?
She capitalized my name.
Oh, all right. Well, at least she knows my name. No, it's still so weird to me that players still actually care about what I have to say.
Aika's a fan, man, and she watches. Plus, I'm sure she was watching because her girl Karen was on last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Look, what can I do? It is weird. Like, I do find myself in a position where I really like people. I like Karen's great. I would love for Karen to like me. I would love for Ika to love me. Like, that would be fantastic. But it was, so I find myself in a position where I'm like, oh, I hate that I don't think they played that well. Because it would be a lot easier to interact with these people if that were the case. But, yeah. What can you do?
What can you do?
Okay.
Sorry, did you give Kira? You gave Kira a score, and what did the audience have to say about Kira?
The audience gave Kira a 3.
Okay, so the audience is with me.
Yes.
Yes. Also, yeah, they're with me.
Yes. So
not with you, and not with you, Melissa. They're with me.
No, whatever. You win some, you lose some.
Well, that I believe is going to make Kira a 3, and so Kira is going to be lower than Adam, which is fair, I think.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the likelihood that Adam will likely be leaving, and my rating was mainly just wishful thinking.
Yes. Likely. And I know people are like, oh, Taryn thinks Ika played bad. No, I just didn't think she played, like, amazing. What are you going to do? Also, I think she didn't like me before Big Brother Canada 5. I think it was...
Yeah, because I put Ika at the top of my list of returning people, like, that were
that's what it was.
Had to come back, and Taryn was like, nah.
I had Ika on my list as well. It was that
it was
I
number one, though.
Right. I think Ika was, like, number two on my list.
You had Nana.
Which was not good enough.
Yes,
and then also,
what
I said was that I didn't think Ika would do well on a potential upcoming season. Yes, based on her prior performance, I didn't think that was something that would happen, and I was wrong. She did very well, so you know,
she probably did it just to prove you wrong. Like, ha, Taryn, look, I did well. You were wrong.
So there you go. So Kira is going to be a 3 there. And that's what we have for the Stockwatch, but we can reveal the decisions that were made here.
What a nightmare.
What happened, Melissa?
Okay, we'll start with Melissa.
I have to look up what I did, but I'm pretty sure I know.
Where were you before? You owned who and how much money did you have? You had more money than me, I know that.
I had 6 Adam, 2 Anthony, and 7 Dane.
Okay.
And then I bought 2 Adams. Yes. But this is why it's good that I diversified my portfolio, because even if Adam leaves, I'm not out yet. I still have Danes and I still have some Anthonys. So, you know, whatever.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so Melissa did lose a little bit of money here. Went from 158 last week to 146 this week, despite getting $20 as a stipend. So that's money lost on Adam. $32 lost on Adam.
I think I should probably go first. Actually,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. There's a rhythm to this because I also bought Adam. I also decided to buy Adam. In fact, I bought so much Adam that that's all I have is Adam.
Ooh,
stock right now.
Whoa.
I said to Alexandra, first I tried to buy 138 shares of Kira, then that didn't go through. And I was bitching about that. And then I said, fine. So I said, sell all my Mark stock and buy 100. Oh, that's my Kira's thing. I said, I was so irritated at the end. Usually I know how many shares I can buy. I just said to Alexandra, buy as many Adam shares as I can.
That's what I said too. I literally was like, I don't even want to calculate it. Just buy whatever Adams I can buy.
You ended up buying 15 shares.
I bought 15 shares of Adam. That's what I did. I bought 15 shares of Adam. That's all I own, by the way.
Yes. And you lost.
I had been moving my money around to various, like, I had them in single house guests as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been working for me, even though you guys have been shading me. I feel like it's been okay. Like, I haven't really, like, really taken a big hit up until last week. But last week combined with this week, man, oh, I went down the shitter. Like, I've got 15 shares of Adam. He went from what previously was a 9 down to what is he now?
A 5.
Oh, so he didn't go down as much, but basically my value was cut in half.
Yes. So, I mean, if we had learned that Adam was out of the house, then you would have gone broke. But Adam's a five, and so you are going to retain. You're going to go from $138 to $98. You're going to lose $60 total on your Adam shares.
What are we doing going ahead? Because we're going to have an eviction on Wednesday that we don't know what happened, and then we're going to have an eviction on Thursday. So can I sell Adam before Thursday, or am I screwed? Because we've been doing this on Thursday.
Yeah, you can sell Adam. You need to get your final purchases and sales in before the finale on Thursday. So that's around, you know, get it in by 3 p.m. Eastern if you can. As long as the spoilers don't get out, you're probably okay. But you know, you will be able to sell Adam. It's just it's an unfortunate situation where this is not, you know, totally concurrent with how we've played before, where you'll know for a fact that Adam is gone if that is the case. You know, there's not a whole lot we can do unless we do a daily update.
So again, get in your shares and your purchases before 3 o'clock on Thursday. Even if we see on Wednesday night that Adam is the one evicted, obviously you know what to do. Get rid of him before he actually goes off the board. That's what I'm probably going to do. And I'm still I just ready to say. Taryn, congratulations. You're the winner of Stockwatch.
I know. It's no over for us. There's no possible way. Point.
There was a way. If you had to defend against Kira, there was a way that I could catch you. But I am it's honey, it's over.
Well, actually, I figured that Mark would be the way if Mark ended up staying, because it did look like he might have a chance based on how the feeds went down. So I actually intentionally did not buy Mark to leave a little bit of an opening, but didn't happen. So I had an interesting situation where basically I could either try to just further increase my lead or just try to hold on to my lead as much as possible, because if I go all in on anybody in particular and they fall, then I'd lose a significant amount. So what I ended up doing is I split my money between the three guys equally for the most part. I bought 19 shares of Anthony, 18 shares of Adam, and 18 shares of Dane. So that is going to lose me a fairly significant amount of money in Adam, because Dane and Anthony did not go up. So I'm going to actually lose the most amount of money
here. Welcome to the club.
Yes. The first real time I've lost any real amount of money. But it's, you know, I had to, because I was defending. What are you going to do?
I get it.
So I lost $72, but my total is going to remain here at $460 overall. So I had to.
Well, I'm curious to see whoever this person is that's been ahead of you in the patron group, whether or not what happened to them moving forward.
Well, that was my real dilemma, was that I was like, do I want to try and compete with Beast from Reddit, or do I want to make sure I win the LFC version? And, you know,
I just love, like, I'll give it up to you for a second. I love the fact that you're only competing against me and Melissa, basically, but you're like, in essence, beating every single living patron, and there are a lot of them who are playing this game, that you're so good at this that you're,
and just people from the subreddit.
Yeah, exactly. So except for one person, like, I want
one person from the subreddit. I want to know who this person is. Come forward.
Yeah, so there were two times during the season. It was the first double eviction and this one, where instead of going for trying to make money, I tried to defend. And both of those times were where I did not make a significant amount. And that's where Beast overtook me the first time. And I'm sure he will overtake me this time as well, even more. But what are you going to do? Beast has played very, very well. And we got to give it up to him if they end up winning this whole thing for the Redditors. And also, of course, whoever ends up winning the patron.
What the Redditors
group
have to say about Melissa giving Adam an eight? Like, they're gonna. I think I saw the chat, and they're like, "Thank you," because they're like me, and they bought Adam. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had to go out there with my rating. I never really go very far out there, so decided to go for it.
Yes.
And I have faith in Adam. I believe in him.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So I am going to retain my lead at $460 of net worth. Brent is, Melissa is in second place with $146, and Brent is in third place with $98. This is why I didn't go to try to go for broke, because like if I lost everything and lost the stockwatch and then also Anthony won the game and I lost the draft after being so in the like I'd never hear the end of it. So I was just like, I can't do it.
You've played well for the stockwatch. I have not. Like, this is terrible, you guys. Like, I used to day trade. Like, when I first met Jay, he had me day trading for him. I have been given $20 every week. And yet, how much money do I have, Karen? Sorry, 98? 98. Yeah, so the terrible idea to let me invest. This is a bad idea. I did terrible.
Yes, and this is over the course of 9 weeks. You've been given, I believe, $180.
And magically so turned that into half.
About half of it. Yeah.
Only me, ladies.
Yeah. Reality Reacts in the chat says Beast is Taryn's burner account to keep the game competitive.
I could actually see that. Taryn's like, who's this Beast guy? And then on the last night, he's like, it was me all along.
That'd be great.
Oh, I should have done that.
You think you can't compete with me? No one beats Taryn.
That's such a good idea. Oh, man.
great fan fiction lesson.
All right, and I would have been able to trade freely too, so it would have worked. All right, so that's what we have for the stockwatch. So how this works is that the bank is unlimited. You can bank as much money as you want, but you can also invest in the players as much as you want. And so if you invest in a player, you buy shares of that. That player will buy out at $10. So you will make a significant amount of profit depending on the current price of the player. So unfortunately for this season, it's $9 each for Dane and Anthony. So if they win, you will only make $1 on each share. But if you buy Kira shares at $3 a piece, you'll make $7 per share on Kira. So that's a massive upside. I imagine that anyone who is significantly behind in any competition is going to just go all in on Kira. I think we know who those people are. Let's do the math here very quickly.
I have $98 and Alexandra says that my $20 that I get for next week is included in that. I think that's what she said.
Yes, I believe that is the case.
Okay, so I have $98 and Kira is currently at $3. So I can buy 32 shares of them. So 32, if they go up to $10, would be $320. But that still doesn't get me anywhere near what you have.
You know, let's do the math and on the finale night to see who wins. Let's just do that.
Unless you go down, if you go down,
yes,
you make a mistake, then
yes, I could make some mistakes here. So it's still live. All right, so that's what we have for the stockwatch. We do have a couple of other things to talk about here. I asked some questions. First was, how would you rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada this week? The answer was 6.7.
I thought the episodes were really good this week.
Yeah.
Did they accurately represent, I think, what was going on, but they were also entertaining.
Entertaining. They gave Anthony some diary rooms. They let him like embrace the villain role, the heel role a little bit. But he did it with like a wink in his eye, which I feel like you have to do. Rob's talked about this before. It's the Dr. Will of it all, where you're like winking at the audience and letting them know that you're doing some shady things and lying to some people and betraying and backstabbing. But the audience is with you. Like, they're in on the gag. So I do feel like that helps him a little bit. I feel like it's also why somebody like Dr. Will and you know, later Dan in Big Brother 14 are a little bit more respected by the audience or liked by the audience rather than somebody like Russell on Survivor, because Russell's not talking directly to the audience, whereas these guys are. So I do feel like that gains Anthony a little bit of credibility and likability with the audience, even though you guys don't like him as much as other people.
Like, for example, the little, like, the shrug he did, like, look what I did. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought it was very endearing.
Yes. The episodes, they continue to rise in the ratings from the audience. And I would agree. I think that the episodes have been very good. I've been giving the episodes high rate. I rate all episodes of all shows that I watch all the time. And I've been giving Big Brother Canada some good ratings. And honestly, that's kind of rare for Big Brother Canada.
Canada.
yeah. I asked you to rate the feeds this week, and the feeds managed to get a 5.7, which is actually a pretty decent rating compared to the rest of the season, which I think goes to show just how much goodwill the show has at the current moment because of the fact that there weren't many feeds to watch. how would you rate the season as a whole so far? We are at a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
So, I feel like that's okay. Like, I feel like I've gotten more into the season as it's gone along.
I'm not gonna lie. As long as Kira doesn't win, it's probably an 8 out of 10 for me.
It's pretty good. I mean, like, it's gotten better. It's gathered steam as it went along. I talked with this with a few different people on Twitter. I think I had an open discussion on Twitter with Arissa where we were like, you know, when we were talking about Big Brother 19 and Josh winning, like, would we rather have a season where it's a boring season and you have an interesting end game? Or would you rather have an interesting season like Big Brother 20? We talked about this on the podcast. Big Brother 20, where it was an interesting for the first 2/3, but the last 1/3 of Big Brother 20 was a real slog, you guys. I feel like I'd rather have the former. I'd rather have an interesting endgame. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the audience is mostly with me on that, but I may be wrong.
I do feel like it leaves a better taste in your mouth when the endgame is good versus, you know, by the end of Big Brother 20, I was like, oh, get the season over with. And I feel like that left a bad taste in my mouth, yeah. Especially with the result. So I do think
that happened.
It's pretty outrageous, but I do think that, like, the fact that this has had such a good end game is really good. And I think that if I'm rating for the past 3 weeks, I would rate it this season like an 8 out of 10. But I think that if we're considering everything that's been going on, I would not nearly rank it this high. I just feel like the first like 2/3 of the season, I was beyond bored, like beyond. And if I wasn't podcasting, I probably wouldn't have paid attention to the feeds, and I probably would have just paid attention to the episodes. And to be honest, it probably wouldn't have really made a difference. So I feel like this season is not a good season for me. Not because there was bad gameplay or something like that, but just because like I didn't care. And I think that's the problem. It's like, by the end of it, I do care and I do like the gameplay and it is fun to watch. But for the first, you know, we could have gotten rid of everyone all in one like fell swoop, just like, okay, let's get rid of everybody who's not playing, which is almost everybody. And then let's have the real people play. And that's what's entertaining for me. So, you know, the season overall, not great for me, but the past 3 weeks, great.
Jordan in the chat says that the LFC made the first 6 weeks interesting. So aww, thank you, Jordan. You're so
sweet. The best.
I also asked the audience to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. And there's only 4 people left.
Oh, let me guess. Mm-hmm. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
What the way the audience ranked them? I think they ranked Adam as number one.
Correct.
By a long shot. I think they ranked Dane number 2. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I feel like they ranked Anthony number 3.
Yep.
Correct.
Kira number 4.
Yep. What was the drop off by?
It's actually pretty even. Wow. You know, it was the numbers here. Adam had a 3.4. Dane had a 2.8. Anthony had a 2.4, and then Kira had a big drop off at 1.2.
Ew.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know how they score those, but that's the number.
And there's Kira. I love that. Whoever put that together, that, and then there's Mark, and then and to the theme of Maud, that was like you were channeling me when you did that.
That's great. So I also did rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite, all of the players. Canada's favorite player.
Sure.
So this
probably
is an
Damian
interesting one.
Number one.
Well, Adam could be
or
number
Adam.
One. A lot I of sympathy Adam, for him.
Adam yeah. pulling forward.
Who do you think is number one, Melissa? Damian or Adam?
I would say Adam.
I would say Adam as well.
Adam was, in fact, number one, with a fairly significant lead over the rest of the field at that point. So, yes, Adam number one. Damian did come in second place.
And then Sam?
Just barely above Sam.
All right.
Who was just barely above one other player. Who do you think that was?
Dane.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of who is beloved. Wow.
Maybe Chelsea for social media.
I don't know. Who is it?
It was Dane.
It was Dane.
All right. It
was Adam up in front, and then Damian, Sam, and Dane neck and neck at 2, 3, and 4. Then another drop off, and we have Chelsea.
Okay.
Chelsea there. Then Anthony at number 6 overall, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then after Anthony, bit of a drop off, and we get Eddie.
Oh.
Really starting to pull from the pre-jury at this point. Mm-hmm. Eddie and then Kiki and Esty neck and neck right behind Eddie. Kiki just a hair ahead of Esty. Then another big drop off, and we get Kaylin, followed by Mark.
Kaylin deserves better, man. Kaylin was good TV. I wish she had stayed in the house longer. Damn it. Put her back on All Stars. Give her a slot on All Stars. God damn it.
Okay. After Mark is Mackie.
Who?
And the bottom three here, I can give you, I'm going to give you the names out of order, and I'm going to have you guess the order here. We've got Laura, Corey, and Kira.
Laura, Kira, Corey.
I think Brent? Corey, and then Kira has a few people that like them. And then I think Laura, because she's such a non-entity of the season, is probably the least.
Corey is third to last.
Yeah.
Followed by Laura.
Oh, okay.
With really? A bit of a drop off.
Wow. Garbage.
And then Kira.
Garbage. No way.
That's hilarious. Like, Kira is so despised. And like, and just like, just to, you know, address the elephants in the room, like, it has nothing to do with the fact that they're non-binary. It has nothing to do with the fact that they want to be addressed as them or there. It's because they are absolutely insufferable in the house. That is the reason why we can't stand them. That is the reason why the chat absolutely cannot entertain the idea of Kira winning the game.
It just sucks, because there was a point in time when I feel like Kira was on an upwards trajectory in terms of being liked. And I think that people were really, I was rooting for them, and I felt like there are one chance to go against the pretty boys, and they have the best read on the house, and like, this is who we need. Yeah. And then the second they get the opportunity, they get sucked up into Anthony's spell. And I just, it's just, yeah, that it was a disappointment. That was disappointing. Yeah.
Just 2 weeks ago, Kira was fourth out of seven in the ratings, above Esty, Anthony, and Mark. Anthony right now is number 6 overall, and Kira had him beat by a decent number 2 weeks ago. Prior to that point, they had been at the bottom for a very long time. They had a spike of hope, and then they put Adam on the block, and they plummeted. So what are you gonna do? Let's see. We can, I've got a few more of the,
before you go into your few more, I just want to address that really quick. I agree with the chat. When teacher in the chat says that Kira was okay when they were friendly with Adam, I feel like that when they betrayed Adam, that's when they lost everybody. They lost the strategic game, and they lost the audience.
Yeah. They lost me too.
At that point in time. We love Adam. And when they betrayed Adam for no reason whatsoever, and didn't even,
it wasn't even a smart reason. It wasn't even smart.
Just for good TV. To betray Adam like that, everyone just turned their back.
And just because you say a move is a big move over and over again, doesn't make it a big move.
Mm. Especially when you don't end up doing what you said you were going to do in the first place, and kept both Adam and Dane in the house.
Yeah. Very dumb.
I asked who is best for Dane to evict this week at the final four, Adam, Anthony, or Kira. People said Adam. Adam was the right move for Dane to go after. I asked who to rank the players in order of who is strategically best for Dane's game to leave off the block this week. And surprisingly, I don't know if I sold this or what, but people actually said Anthony was the right choice to leave off the block this week.
I feel like because they're in agreement about what to do. I feel like that's he's an instrument of Dane's in this particular instance, because they're in agreement. So that's why they think that it's best for Dane to leave Anthony off the block.
I also asked who should Anthony evict in this position. He can either evict Adam or Kira. Who should he evict for his game? And 60% of people said Adam was the right call. 40% said Kira.
I think those 40% of people are wishing.
Yeah.
Well, I did ask also, who do you want to be evicted this week? And I am pretty sure this is the highest percentage of responses I have ever gotten on this question. 95% of people said they would like to see Kira evicted this week. over Adam.
So close, man. All Adam had to do was win that freaking veto or win HOH. All he had to do is win one or the other. Like, again, we were talking about this last week, and I was like, he's going to have a chance to win HOH and veto on in a competition that he has to be at least favored or even with Dane. And he didn't win either one of them. That is amazing to me that he did not win either one of them. I thought for sure he'd win one or the other. He's been so good.
That is something to briefly talk about. It's something that I touched on in the Dane recap, which is that if Dane wins the final HOH, he will have won 7 competitions total. And I believe his percentage will either be 7 out of 15 or 7 out of 16. Either way, it's going to be very, very close to Adam's percentage. He is also going to take a spot above Kevin and Dimitri if that happens. And so, when we consider that, and we consider the fact that I can cite at least 3 examples of Dane intentionally throwing a competition, I think that maybe Dane is actually just better at competitions than Adam is overall. Adam has beaten Dane in 1 veto, but Dane, I believe, has placed better than Adam in more HOH competitions than Adam has over Dane, although I do think it was kind of close. But I think Dane just has a better mind for the question comps. I think that he is almost as good physically. In some cases, he has an advantage because he's smaller. In some cases, he is at a disadvantage because he is smaller. But I feel like Dane might be the true comp beast of the season. He just threw some of those competitions and so didn't really have the chance to show it as much because he chose not to.
Okay. All right. Well, the chat is saying that actually, I don't even know if that's true. But the one thing they are saying is that Dane said the veto was, quote, designed for short people. That's what Dane said. Mm-hmm. So the chat is not loving production right now. But that's
right. The veto before that was designed for tall people.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, come on, give me a break. Like,
yeah. So
something's going to favor something some way or the other.
Yes. So now I asked, what I did here is I gave all of the possible scenarios for Final Two, and I asked you where the jury votes are going to lie. Now I want to go over the most likely scenarios, first, and then we'll kind of gloss over the rest of them and how those fared. So the first thing I want to go over is, let's say Dane wins the HOH and he takes Anthony to the final two. I think this is the most exciting one, so I want to start here. So the question was, Dane wins the final HOH, he takes Anthony, cutting Kira. So in that spot, who do we think will vote for who? The first person, Sam. The audience pretty overwhelmingly said that Sam would be a vote for Dane.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this?
I agree with that.
I probably agree with that.
Well, because I also think it then means that Anthony cut Adam, right? If this is the scenario, then I also think that might affect things because Dane was like, I can't vote. So
yeah, like, but he was going to tell Adam. But Melissa, he said, and this is the worst thing he could do. Dane said he was going to sit Adam down, you know, in the coming days with Anthony and tell them that they are cutting him.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah. That happened in that 45 minutes, then that was a bad idea.
I could see a situation where Sam and Adam are like, well, we're pissed at Anthony, and so we're voting for Dane.
I could see a situation where Adam is pissed at Dane and goes to the jury round table and talks to Sam and is like, no, Anthony is the best player to step foot in this game. He said as much on the feeds, so I could definitely see that happen.
Yeah.
I will say I do think Sam votes Dane, but I think it's open. I think that it depends on how Adam comes out of the house. If he comes out at 4 and is betrayed by Dane and he is mad at Dane, then I do think there's a chance that Adam could flip Sam as well over to Anthony. But I think that chance is not greater than the chance that he comes out of the house and Sam is a vote for Dane. Anyway, so I am with the audience. I think Sam is a vote for Dane. That's one. Second vote is Corey. Overwhelmingly, 96% of the audience says Corey is a vote for Anthony. And I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Esty, 96% say is a vote for Dane.
Yeah.
To which I also agree.
I also agree. I just want to say that even though we're saying, you know, it looks obvious one way or the other, like, dude, juries are unpredictable. I remember last season, like, thinking, like, you know, who are the dingoes or the two, what were they called?
The dingoes. You know,
the ding dong, sorry.
The dingoes. Sorry.
The dingoes. I remember thinking that I knew exactly what they were going to do.
And Johnny.
Not so. And Johnny, like, still bitter juror. Hello. Anyway, but love you, John.
Next up is Damien, and about 80%. This is the lowest percentage so far. People are a little less sure about Damien. 80% say Damien goes for Dane. And I think I once again am going to agree.
That one's tricky.
It is tricky.
If he's still mad.
Yes, he. When I talked to Damien, he was mad, but he did rank Dane above Anthony. Now, he was close to Corey. If he goes to the jury house and they reignite that relationship and Corey is very pro-Anthony, that could make a big difference. And that matters because this is going to be a close vote. So I do think Damien leans toward Dane. But I could see, just like with Sam, potentially, I could see him go toward Anthony as well. And honestly, this is one of the votes I'm the least sure about with Damien. Well. I think he could go anywhere.
I agree.
So right now the audience has 3-2-1 Dane in the lead.
Yep.
Next up is Mark, and people are even less sure about Mark. 67% say Mark is a vote for Anthony.
That's
Melissa
what I
agrees.
Think. I think so.
I also agree. I have him down as a vote for Anthony.
Yes. I think that in this scenario, because Dane has taken Anthony and cut Kira, I do believe that he probably gives his vote to Anthony, or at the very least is inclined to give his vote to Anthony. But I think it might also matter where the rest of the votes lie. I think that if he knows Anthony isn't going to win, he is somebody that might want to throw his vote toward the winner. So I think that if Dane has four other votes and Mark was one of those votes for Anthony, I could see Mark going over to Dane and being the fifth vote for Dane. I do think that's a possibility in my mind. So
for those of you who are not listening or who are listening to the audio version, the video version is something to behold because the chat is going crazy over the fact that Melissa is keeping track of who's voting for who with her fingers. They think that you've been partaking of some alcohol, Melissa. Well,
I have not, but I am sleepy.
It's not just that she's keeping track with her fingers. It's that she's dancing with her fingers the whole time.
I used to do this when my family and I would watch Survivor when I was like 10 years old. And it was like, we'd always be like, one vote. Oh! And then we'd like hold up their fingers. But yeah.
Oh, boy. So next up is Adam. If Adam is out in this scenario, where would his vote go? The audience, again, not super sure about this one. 67% say Adam is a vote for Dane. They say that Adam is a vote for Dane. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I kind of think Adam would vote for Anthony.
And it's not because I want him to. I think that he could vote for Dane. But he has also made no bones about the fact that how good Anthony is and how good he views him and how he's like the best player that's ever walked the earth. And there's no reason for him to lie in this specific instance. Like, I really do believe that Adam feels this way. Also, if he feels like Dane is on board with cutting him after he would have taken Dane to the end of the game, I think he'll be mad at Dane for that.
Yeah.
I think
he would vote for Anthony.
But boy, this is close. I feel like this is going to be decided by Damien, Adam, and Kira. Those are the three people that I'm least confident about.
Yeah, and I am also very on the fence about this. I think it's very possible that Adam does go against Dane. And one of the main reasons I feel that way is because of what he said in the house about Anthony being the best player he's ever seen. However, Adam has also talked to Dane about how he will definitely vote for him to win in the end, no matter what.
That was under the guise, though, of him taking him to the final three.
Very true.
I think that he'll be most upset with Dane.
So the question becomes, will Adam vote I think that if he votes for Anthony, it will be because he's mad at Dane and not necessarily because he definitely respects Anthony's game more. I think the fact that he respects Anthony's game is just a great reason to go along with his bitter feelings toward Dane. But Adam, he is hot headed. But he's also the guy that then hugs Anthony and says, hey, we're brothers. So it's really a question of, is this the final straw? And I am not sure. I'm not sure.
I also think Adam loves the game so much and respects the game. And I think he sees Anthony as like an amazing player. I think he thinks Dane's a good player, but I think he thinks of himself more as on par with Dane. And I think he thinks of Anthony as this like strategic mastermind. And so I could see him being like, I want that as the winner of this season. Cause like for the game's sake, I don't know.
Yes. All right. So the audience says, Dane, I think I'm going to side with the audience on this one, but like I said, I think it's very, very close in terms of like which way he decides to go. So next up is Kira. Kira, the audience says 80%. Anthony. They feel pretty comfortable that Kira would be a vote for Anthony, and I have to agree.
I have to agree as well, because if Kira's sitting in the jury as juror number 7, that means that Dane won the final HOH and evicted them and took Anthony to the end of the game. And Kira's going to be, how stupid was that to take Anthony to the end of the game? You should have taken me. Not only will they be mad at him, but they'll also be incredulous that he didn't make the right strategic move. So I feel like that they are.
God, it's so close. I'm like literally like it's 3-on-3. And I think Adam is like, I don't know. I keep vacillating back and forth with Adam. And I think that.
I have a 2-2. I have Sam and Esty as definitely votes for Dane. I have Corey and Mark as definitely votes for Anthony. I feel like Damian, Adam and Kira are the people that I'm the least. Because Kira's just a freaking wild card. You never know what they're thinking. I mean,
I think that it does matter the final speeches too. Like I do think that if it's this close, if it's indeed this close, I think final speeches could have something to do with it. And I think that there's pros and cons because Dane knows the game more. So he knows more of like what a final two speech should be. Anthony doesn't really know the game very well, but he's really well spoken and can convince people of anything. So I think he could go either way.
Yes. One more point for Kira is that Kira currently believes that Dane is easier to beat in the finals than Anthony is, which I think is an indication of how they might think as a juror in terms of whose game they respect more. So I do believe that they would be a vote for Anthony there, especially because they're not going to have time in this scenario to go and talk with the rest of the jury, aka Sam, who might be more respectful of Dane's game. And I will say, I do think that if Adam does side with Anthony, I do think he has a very real chance of flipping Sam to that idea as well. So that could be a 2-vote swing.
Yeah, I'll say this, that if Arissa starts pulling the keys and Sam is a vote for Anthony, honey, it's over.
It's done.
I feel like it's done.
Yeah. So the audience has this by a vote of 4-3. Dane, you have won Big Brother Canada 7. And I'm going to lean toward that one. It's very, very close, but I'm going to lean toward that one. This is this is like 52% to 48%.
And so close. I have it as 4-3 for Anthony, but any one of those votes could change. I have Corey, Mark, Adam and Kira all voting for Anthony. But Adam, I mean, you know, that's Adam. Adam holds the fate of the show in his hand, I feel like.
And I think it was BB in the chat made a good point that Adam knows how much Dane loves this game. And he's talked about it before to other people saying, you know, like that Dane and I love this game so much. And I think that that could also be a factor where he's like, this guy loves the game. He's a super fan. Like we should give it to him. And,
If they don't make the move of taking Kira to the final two, I feel like that could be held against him. Also, the chat is talking about that Dane might use his father in his final two speech. I specifically said that if he talks about his father, I will throw my television because he's used that before and it hasn't mean jack shit. So but then again, they might buy it. And it was
if it works, it works.
If it works, it works. If the audience is buying it and they're clapping and they're boohooing, then he might get it. So we'll see. I think it's 4-3 for Anthony. Taryn thinks it's 4-3. and is agreeing with the audience for Dane.
And like I said, I think it might go 5-2. I think other votes might start to
get on board with the winner. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Melissa, what do you think? What's your final call?
Nah.
You had your fingers in everything. Come on.
And my fingers were like 4-on-4, which doesn't even make any sense. They didn't help me. They just confused me.
Melissa would not do well in mental comps.
Melissa. Like they're there.
Was it before or after?
It was 3.
8.
No, I it's so hard because it really could go either way. I was leaning towards Anthony. Now I'm starting to lean towards Dane, thinking about the fact that Dane and Adam share that like super fan bond or whatever. I think that
this is great podcasting, Melissa.
Sorry. Okay, look, I think that Anthony does really well in one-on-one situations, but I don't know if he does well in like it's inspiring people to want to vote for him with like, you have to do kind of like an emotional plea. You can't really do this like logical, like, well, do what you think, but what you think should be this, and this is why, and here's what you're going to vote for. Like, you can't really do that. So I do think in this situation, Dane might have a more convincing final two speech, more emotional, bring up the fact that he's been watching the show for so long and he's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so I do think that Dane probably has it.
All right. Okay. So that's Dane taking Anthony to the end. Let's quickly go over some other scenarios. Let's say Dane wins the final three HOH and cuts Anthony to take Kira to the final
Dane
two.
Dane wins for sure. I think no one votes for Kira.
You think it's unanimous for Dane?
It's unanimous as well.
The audience also thinks it's unanimous for Dane. I will say I could absolutely see Anthony casting a vote for Kira if Dane cuts him. And I also think that Anthony is not one that would care about who votes the other way. I think that he is totally fine standing out as the single vote against Dane. So I don't necessarily think it's a lock that it's unanimous, but I do think that that Dane has 6 votes locked in.
I feel like Anthony will get on board, especially if he can feel the way it's going around him. He's going to be mad for sure, but he's really going to vote for Kira. He's really going to be the one outlier vote. I think he is willing to do it, but I don't think he will.
Right.
I think he'll vote for Dane.
Yeah, I would lean toward him voting for Dane as well, but I would not be surprised if he voted for Kira.
Agreed.
So that's that situation. So, you know, according to most of the audience and most of this panel, Dane's going to win if he wins the final three HOH. There are some scenarios where Kira could win the final three HOH. If Kira brings Dane, the audience says that Kira wins unanimously. And in that situation, I agree.
Sorry, what?
If Kira wins the final three HOH and brings Dane to the final two.
Uh-huh.
The audience says that Dane will win unanimously.
Oh, I thought you said they will win.
I might have said that.
I was like, what? Oh, God.
Yeah, no, Dane.
No,
Dane will win unanimously according to the audience, and I agree. Okay. I think that in that case, Anthony will, of course.
Yeah, the chat heard what I heard as well. Yeah. Exactly. I was like, "What?" Because I was like, "Wait," it was one of those things where I heard it, and then I'm like, "Wait," I'm replaying it in my head, and I'm like, "What? What did you
say?" If Kira wins the final HOH and brings Anthony, the audience thinks that Anthony wins unanimously. However, this is the closest vote of any of them. 49% said Sam would vote for Kira over Anthony, and 50% said that Sam would vote for Anthony over Kira. So the audience thinks that Kira could very, very easily be a vote for Kira in that spot. And I have to say, it is possible. I could see Sam casting kind of a pity vote for Kira, but I will also say I'm not 49% sure that that would happen. I'm like 3% sure that would happen. I think Sam wants to vote for the winner.
I think Sam's not going to vote for Kira because Kira betrayed Adam.
That's another good point.
I don't think that's happening at all. I think that there's no way Sam votes for
also,
Kira.
Also, there are no pity votes on a 7-person jury. Come on. Get with the program, Sam.
Yeah, I don't think no way. Not after the betrayal of Adam. Like, I mean, it was a situation where Adam and Kira were supposed to work together, and that's what Sam
and they blindsided him. And he's
yeah. Now they blindsided him. Yeah. Kira's been like talking bad about Adam this whole time. Like, it's just no.
All right. Anthony wins the final HOH, brings Kira. The audience says he wins unanimously.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony's not winning. He's not winning final part three. He might win part one or part two, but he's not winning part three.
Yes. If Anthony won and brought Dane, the audience has basically the same opinion about which person would win. It was a 3-4 vote that Dane would still win. But of course, Anthony's not winning the final HOH. However, if Adam stays in the final three, if Adam manages to survive the final four eviction and Adam wins the final HOH and he brings Dane to the final two.
Oh my God. Do I have to think about this?
We don't have to go individually necessarily.
I could still be there, but oh God, that's so hard for me to like flip my head back to like if Adam isn't there. Oh my God.
The audience says he has Sam.
Yeah.
The audience says it's a close one, but the audience says he has Corey as well.
No.
Melissa disagrees.
I think Adam would have Corey because he did good on his goodbye messages to Corey, telling her to her face, look, I was the assassin. Even though she had bitter feelings about it when she went to the jury, Dane was also supposed to protect her and he didn't. He was supposed to vote for Corey. And then she found out late in the game that he was not going to vote to keep her in the house. So I know she's mad at Adam for putting her on the block, but he did get her out of the house and Dane showed no loyalty whatsoever. So I think she votes for Adam in the end.
She seemed mad at Adam in her jury videos, though. That's the only thing that's tripping me up, though.
I think she votes for Dane.
Okay. I think she's a vote for Dane personally.
Okay.
So that's against what the audience is. SD is a vote for Dane. I think we can agree on that. Damien, very close vote on this one, but the audience says Adam, which is what Damien told me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I do feel like Damien would feel more betrayed by Dane.
So we're 2-2 again?
Yeah.
Okay.
In this spot, though, if we think that Corey is a vote for Dane and that Esty is a vote for Dane, those are the two people Damien feels closest to in the jury house. Does he really vote against them both? Mm. I think it's a close one.
Maybe. I don't know. I still think that I could see him voting for Adam. I think they felt pretty close through the end, and I just think he feels more betrayed by Dane.
All right. I think I might go with Dane just because I also think Esty and Corey are Dane votes. Then we have Mark, and I do believe Mark is a vote for Adam, and so does the audience.
Yes.
Then we have Kira.
Vote for Dane.
The audience says is a vote for Adam, but actually think that they would be a vote for Dane.
Yep. Nope.
They absolutely hate Adam right now.
Yep. Yes. And then Anthony, the audience says, is a vote for Dane.
Yep.
Which means the Dane wins, according to the audience. Hold on. It's 1-2. Sorry, that means Adam wins according to the audience. Dane wins according to me.
Okay. Yes. And I agree with that as well. I don't even want to think about that. And Wednesday can't get here soon enough, man. We're not going to get any spoilers, I don't feel like. And then Wednesday, we got to wait till Wednesday to find out what happened. Hopefully Hamster Watch will come through.
Yeah, and we don't need to talk about Adam taking Anthony because I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not
going to
happen. Anyway.
Yeah. And taking Kira, I think Adam wins for sure.
Well, Kira would be gone.
Kira would be gone in this instance.
Get rid of anyone else, I guess.
So, just quickly, the audience thinks that Adam would get 1, 2, 3, 4 votes against Anthony. And so it would be a 4-3 vote and Adam would win over Anthony. They think that Dane would be a vote for Adam, which I don't agree with. So I think that Anthony would actually beat Adam in that
anyone spot. But having Kira in the finale comes with it a very exciting jury vote. If we have Kira in the finale, we do not have a very exciting jury vote. So
if Kira is sitting in the final two, then there's no tension except for the tension of if it all goes belly up, then it sucks. Even
We're
rooting for tension. Like, oh, it's obvious that Kira loses. But if it's not obvious that Kira loses, that's actually somehow worse. That's actually somehow worse.
Yeah, exactly. No, the best case scenario is not having Kira in the final two.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Finally, last two questions.
Finally,
Want to win the game? Who do you want to win the game?
I wonder who they said.
It's the exact same layout as before. Adam, Dane, Anthony, Kira. Who do you think will win the game? Dane. They think Dane is going to win the game. Then Anthony, and of course, and then Kira is slightly above Adam in that ranking.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So there you go.
Melissa's losing her mind.
That's what we have for you.
Man.
Hey, we put together quite a show with only three people left in the house currently.
Yeah, I can tell you my notes were pretty bare.
Yeah. So we got through. We got some shit to talk about. I'm glad we got through it. Should be fun.
Yes. So let me know if you have an idea for a hashtag in the chat, and we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see how the jury votes play out, especially if it's Anthony versus Dane, because I can look and see if the audience was correct, and I can even look at specific answers to see how many people got it exactly right. So that'll be fun. All right. So that's what we have for you. Tomorrow morning, I will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern to go over Anthony's game from start to finish. It should be a fun one, considering all that Anthony has done across the season. And then, of course, Wednesday, I will be talking about Kira's game from start to finish. It will probably start a little early on that because I have a flight to Toronto, because Thursday night I will be live after the airing.
Taryn will be in the audience. You're going to be in the finale, Taryn. You and Liguori is also going with you, correct?
Yes. Liguori will be coming along as well.
Matt Liguori, one of the morning live feed updaters. He subbed for me on the show also before. So he will also be with you. That's so great. I'm so excited for you guys.
Yes.
What if they pan over to you guys in the audience, and then as your little tag, they put whatever Aika calls you. What does she call you again? Taryn.
It's Taryn.
It's Taryn, but it was something else.
Torrance.
Yeah, it's just like Torrance.
Yeah.
Torrance. Well, she's changed it.
Torrance.
It'll just be lowercase Taryn.
Torrance and the help. Matt.
So that'll be fun. I will be live from Toronto after the airing of the finale, and I will let you know, all the fun stuff that happened at the taping. We'll talk about the finale and all of that stuff. And then Friday, I will be speaking in person with the final three, and we'll be filming those. We'll release the videos as soon as possible after that happens. Lots of fun stuff heading your way with Big Brother Canada. And of course, after the season ends, we will have a wrap-up roundtable where we'll do our final ratings of the season, of the players, talk about all of the legacy stuff, and then that's it. That's all we got for Big Brother Canada 7.
I'm very excited to hear if Adam was evicted and Kira is part of the final three. I'm very interested to see how you handle your interview with Kira in terms of giving them as much real tea as possible, and how you do that eloquently to not offend them or get them on the defense right away. That's going to be interesting.
Yes. And of course, there will be an interview with the final four evictee that goes up on Wednesday, or it might be Thursday, actually. It might be Thursday morning.
Thursday.
At some point after the episode airs, we'll have an interview for you there as well. So that's what we have for you. What do we have in the chat for the hashtag here? Did you guys see anything good?
I liked mine. It was like hashtag 4-4 fingers or something. 4-4 vote. 4-4 vote.
Okay.
We could keep it out of the fingers territory.
Hashtag dingoes. Oh, I like hashtag dingoes.
Dingoes. Okay. Yeah. Hashtag dingoes. I'm cool with either one. Hashtag dingoes is probably easier.
I like dingoes.
Dingoes. Dingoes.
A lot of people want these fingers. So any final thoughts before we end this thing?
Melissa, you want to go?
You don't need final thoughts.
This has been a fun season, sort of. At least near the end, it's been a great season.
Insofar as what happened last season on Big Brother Canada 6, I did not expect what we ended up getting. This was so far removed. If you guys go back and watch, someone even tweeted about it, about how badly we missed the mark coming into this season with regard to Anthony laughing at Adam and his crazy plans.
Oh yeah,
reinvent the brigade.
He proved us wrong.
Wow. I mean, like I want to see the show that we were talking about, not the one that ended up happening.
I'm very excited for the finale, and it should make for a really exciting night, especially if we can get two pretty boys up against each other. I'm really excited to see the final two speeches and questions and all that. That's going to be I'm also really excited to see the jury roundtable. I love those.
Yes. All right. So that's what we have for you. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with three of those A's. And yeah, watch out for the upcoming coverage. For Brent and Melissa, I'm Taren Armstrong. Hashtag dingoes. We'll see you next time.